Olivia opened her hazel eyes, her vision still blurred from the night before. She glanced at the clock, lighting up the hotel room. 7:03. She'd been working campaigns long enough to understand that an extra chair beside the bed in a hotel room in Iowa made that room a presidential suite. She thought the bed felt a little softer than the one in her own room, which, as she connected the dots, she realized was downstairs. Her room barely allowed space for a bed, let alone a chair. And there was no way she could have overslept on that rock-hard mattress. This room was painted dull beige, and above the bed was the obligatory landscape portrait that hung in every hotel room on the road, the painting of the idyllic view that should have been outside the window, but was not. This hotel in particular was in the parking lot of a strip mall, literally, right smack in front of a Super Target, which actually, Olivia had thought when they pulled in the night before, was pretty great. That was campaign frame of mind. You pulled up to a hotel that had a totally useful store nearby, and it far outweighed the fact that you would be sleeping in a parking lot. I should probably stock up on some stuff I need, she thought. I wonder how much I could fit in my suitcase. Probably not much. When traveling with a candidate on commercial flights, Olivia did not check luggage. That lesson, campaign lesson number 5 in politics, became crystal clear the first time she traveled with a gubernatorial candidate. Only a year out of college and thrilled to be filling in for her sick finance director boss on a 2-day trip to Texas, she had packed in preparation for any and every situation that could possibly arise. She would never forget the annoyed look on the candidate's face as they waited for her luggage on the carousel. She was new then, so he didn't scream, despite the fact that her bag was the very last to come across the conveyor belt, threw off the entire day's tightly packed schedule. Now, 4 years later, equal to about 16 campaign years, if she made a mistake like that, the politician paying her salary would blast her so severely that an onlooker might suspect imminent murder. Needless to say, campaign lesson number 5 was to pack light. Wrinkle-free suits could look totally different with a new shirt, and a black shift dress worked for everything. Maybe I could fit a small box of Q-tips and the Neutrogena face wash I like. The buzz of a BlackBerry shifted Olivia out of her Target trance. The blinking red light beckoned. It couldn't be anything that bad. She had checked her messages before falling asleep 2 hours earlier. Post-sex BlackBerry check. It was the campaign equivalent of a post-coital cigarette, though admittedly far less sexy. Still, the thought of what awaited yielded a flurry of worries. Where are we on the budget? Do I have enough calls scheduled today for the governor? Will Henley come through with the 50 he promised? What if Alex's check doesn't get here in time? She reached for the BlackBerry, and as she shifted, the arm around her pulled her back in. God, his timing was good. He tightened his hold on her slender waist, and she decided to let him. Usually, on most mornings after, she'd feel as claustrophobic as Scarlett Johansson and He's Just Not That Into You, when her boyfriend in the movie E from Entourage is sprawled on top of her and she can't escape. But with him, it was different. There was a space right between his chin and broad shoulder where she fit perfectly. She thought his body was flawless, strong enough to hold her tight, but not so muscular that he bulged out of an Oxford shirt. Even the feel of his steady snore was sexy to her. It was more like calm, heavy breathing, and it just took her over. He was it. Everything she'd always wanted in a man. In these rare moments of closeness, away from the craze of everyday campaign life, her insecurities washed away, and she knew this was love for both of them.